You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The third day, all of a sudden, it all made sense to me. The lights, the shadows. And I never do anything small. I'm a compulsive person. So I was just churning out all kinds of paintings. You can see on my website, I have tons and tons of paintings. And then it'll switch. And then I've been in a rating phase right now. So last year I painted one picture and I haven't done any this year. So it just depends on the mood or what's going on in my life at the time.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project. I'm your host, Renita Hora. This is your place for stories. And today I have with me a very versatile storyteller. Melody Fowler is from Vancouver, Canada. And she retired after decades of working for the government. And she writes stories, books, poetry. You know, I'm going to let her speak in her own words. Hi, Melody, and welcome to the True Fiction Project.
Thanks for having me, Renita.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You started off as a poet. Is that right?
I did. Yes. I started writing poetry when I was very young, probably 11 or 12 years old.
But you've been working for the government for years.
So oh, yeah.
Have you been...
That's a whole nother story.
Okay. So no poetry while you're working for the government, or is that poetic justice or...
No, as a writer, I always continued to write through the years, but I just got cut short because when I told the adults in my life that I wanted to be a journalist, they told me that I would starve. So you think, well, I need to value your opinion. You're someone who cares about me. And so I got the good job and suffered for it for decades, but I'm happy to come out on the other side of it. If you're a writer, that doesn't magically go away. You can put yourself in the box of working for the government. It doesn't mean you're not going to want to write. So I found different ways to let that out. We had an in-house magazine there, and I was the editor and did articles for that. So at least I had an outlet for it. So that's what happened.
That's what happened. It's very interesting, though, because it sounds like you started off wanting to be a journalist. And not that working for the government is an alternative to journalism. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But is that the kind of journalism that you wanted to do, to cover social, political issues and things that affect society?
I think more... I really enjoy traveling. And so I think I wanted to be more of a travel journalist. I sort of enjoy the things that I love most, right? Traveling and writing. That was the whole plan.
Traveling and writing, though not a travel writer. But, you know, you're also, okay, so you're nonfiction, fiction, in-house editorial for your government position. You've been a poet, you've been a painter. So my gosh, you are a very creative person. What of those would you say is your primary go-to creative skill? Or am I even allowed to ask that?
It depends. It depends on where I'm at. It kind of moves around. Like a couple of years ago, especially once I finished writing my current novel, you're spent, right? You're like, I can't write another word, but I need to do something to let out my creativity. So that's why I started painting. I hadn't even known that it was a skill that I had. And then, and of course, coupled with the pandemic, probably the first day I painted, it was not the best. Next day, I got a little better. And then there's something that happened. The third day, all of a sudden, it all made sense to me. The lights, the shadows, and I never do anything small. I'm a compulsive person. So I was just churning out all kinds of paintings. You can see on my website, I have tons and tons of painting. And then it'll switch. And then I've been in a rating phase right now. So last year I painted one picture and I haven't done any this year. So it just depends on the mood or what's going on in my life at the time.
Yeah. No, I can completely resonate. This completely resonates. So I know what it feels to get into that compulsive phase and just to go all in and immerse yourself. So you mentioned your current novel. Is that the one you're going to read from today?
Later? It is. How We Healed. Yeah.
How We Healed. So tell us a little bit about that. What is How We Healed about? Genre, story, storyline, and how did you get to it? Or how did it come to you?
Sure. It's historical fiction. It's based on my husband's grandmother. And so originally I wanted to do a biography because often at family events, I would find myself sitting with her and she'd be telling me the stories of her life. And she'd tell me how important it was and how she wanted people to know these things. So I kind of, got in my mind that this is what I would do. But, as time went by and she got older and her hearing wasn't great and she lived in Chicago, and then ultimately she passed on when she was 97. And so I thought, I feel like I made this promise that I want to make good on. And so I thought, well, I can take the lessons that she wanted and just make it the fictional version of her life. So there's an element of truth. The lessons are hers. Personality traits are definitely hers. The main character is Drunetta, and Eric's grandmother's name was Lucinda. So it is all about Lucinda. And so it was fun, though, because then I could take a lot of creative license and just have fun with it, right? And not worry about legalities and stuff because it was a fictional story, right? That's how that happened. And my husband is listed as my co-author because it was very important that I keep it authentic and have the right vernacular. And I've been to Mississippi, but I certainly haven't lived there. And so I wanted to make sure that it was true and that had that authentic feel. So everything went through him. He helped me polish anything that wasn't quite on point. He did think it was funny, though, because he said, "You've been in this family for 33 years. Why would you not trust yourself?" I said, "I think it's important that it's your family."
Yeah. Good on you. I so respect that because even if it's fiction, true to the storyline, because you know where it came from. But I want to talk about the genre for a second. Historical fiction as opposed to biography or memoir, history of any sort. You mentioned legalities and you mentioned creative license and having fun with it. And I completely understand the two, but so often when you write a memoir, it could be positioned as historical fiction or it could be a memoir. And what is the reason beyond having fun creatively, which is a very good reason, to identify it as historical fiction rather than memoir? And the reason I ask is because many publishers will say, oh, we really prefer the true story, the history that has more legs.
It's got quite a range. It literally goes from when she's 16 in 1930 all the way until Obama is elected the first time. So for me, that's why it was historical, because there were many huge things that happened during her lifetime that I wanted to place in the story because they had affected her personally and the world. And so that's why I went that way.
But then when you write a story like this and it spans so many decades of her life, let's say, are you, and it's fiction because now it's fiction, are you crafting the story in accordance with a fictional structure, a plot, a hero's journey, save the cat, beginning, middle, end? Or is it more like a memoir of her life? Does my question make sense?
I think of it as it was a journey, right? Actually, the very first draft, I'd actually called it The Journey because it's such a mix of both, honestly. It's such a combination because, like I said, there are parts of the story that are true. definitely all the historical events, right? But for her too, like things that actually happened.
I have to chuckle because I had a very first draft of a story, which was also called The Journey.
Oh, it's really? No longer called that. Oh, it's had like several titles. I was going to call it Sisters, but then of course, Tyler Perry had a show and I went, oh, well, that takes that away.
I'm sure, you know, you find there are as many words as there might be in the English language, there are so few words available.
Right. You know? That, you know, you get, oh no, that's already gone. I know. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. So with what you're going to read today, give us the backstory to that. You know, set it up for us. Tell us how that particular anecdote or incident or opening, whatever it is, came to be.
Okay. So the portion that I'm reading, it takes place in 1950. So at the time, she is with her husband. In the storyline, it kind of jumps back and forth because at the very opening of the book, she's leaving her husband. So at this time, she's still with her husband and she is waiting for him to come home. He's quite a drinker. And so there's a storm outside and it's what's going on in her head as she waits, listening to this storm.
And before you read, a basic question, but an important one. Of course, you knew this woman. You had several conversations with her. You were obviously drawn to her stories. But why do you feel, as the storyteller, as the author, they are important to bring to the world?
They were important because the relationships that she formed, like with her family and friends and stuff that she learned personally, is something that we can all relate to. We have our own view of a situation, and sometimes it takes some time to see it from somebody else's point of view and see them differently and realize that you're looking at them from your point, you know, like not holistically.
Through a different lens. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And so as we mature, we see that sometimes we've made it all about us and it isn't. So that's where it came from.
That's lovely because I think relationships and interpreting relationships is so universal. That applies to every single one of us, whoever we are, wherever we're from, whatever age we've lived in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. None of us are perfectly good or perfectly bad. And I always say this too, anytime you hear any kind of story, right? If there's two sides, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
The truth is somewhere in the middle. Absolutely. Okay. So before we segue into your reading, let our listeners and viewers and readers know where we can find your work.
Okay. Well, it's pretty much available anywhere. You can get it Barnes & Noble, Amazon. I distribute with Draft to Digital, so they're like worldwide. So there's lots of in the Europe as well. If you go to my website, melodyfowler.com, there's lots of links so you can see where anything is available, both poetry and the novel.
Amazing. Well, Melody, thank you so much. Now, before we let you go, I know that you have something extra special for our paid subscribers today. So would you like to let us know what that is?
Sure. I can read a piece from Life Lyrics. That's my book of poetry. I like to only market it under the audio book, actually, because I didn't have the best deal when I did this book back in 2011. And so when I found out that I had retained the audio rights, I just re-released audio in November of 2023. So,
okay. So paid subscribers and free subscribers as well. I hope you are listening because this is only available to you if you hit that paid subscriber button. If you haven't done so already, please do. Melody, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is the True Fiction Project and I am your host, Renita Hora.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now to the premise of the True Fiction Project, which of course is to create fiction out of nonfiction.
Chapter 22, Juneta, the Storm, November 24th, 1950. The wind was blowing hard enough to rattle the windows. The violent air twisted and screeched its way through the nooks and crannies of the house, exaggerating all the squeaks and rattles that did not bother me in the light of day. I tried to peer outside, but it was so dense I could only see shadows and the trees eerily swaying and bending. I sat with a blanket around my shoulders at the kitchen table, my Bible open in front of me, not for reading, but for comfort. The children were tucked snugly in their beds and sleeping soundly. The lights flickered, and I pulled the blanket tighter around my shoulders. I wanted to lay my head down, but fear kept me from closing my eyes. It was nearly midnight, and Abraham was not home. The storm was building, and I knew soon the electricity would be knocked out. I prayed the thunder and lightning would not wake the children. I heard a dog barking in the distance. He may have been reacting to the storm, but I hoped the animal was sounding the alert that my husband had finally found his way home. I could not know sitting alone as the lights made their final flicker and left me in the darkness that this was to be a historic storm, one that would affect 22 of these United States. But a feeling in the pit of my stomach told me that this was more than just a typical storm. Later I learned this was the Great Appalachian Storm of 1950. A cyclone storm that moved through the eastern United States, carrying with its winds, heavy rain, and blizzard conditions along the western slopes of the mountain chain. But right now, all I knew for sure was I was alone with only my faith and a wool blanket to keep me safe and warm. I felt my strength and my faith were being tested. Growing up, I had experienced my share of storms, and plenty of standing water would follow after it passed over. It was one of those things that never got easier with time and experience. We were prepared as we could be with kerosene lanterns, homemade preserves, and every other thing possible we had canned or cured. Still, there was a worry. What if it wasn't enough? I hoped we and the house were strong enough to withstand another storm. I lit my candle and secured it in the bottom of the tin. I paced the floor. My thought was if I kept moving, my fear could not paralyze me. I tried to keep my steps ahead of my imagination because it was threatening to get away from me. I heard the rumble of thunder and began to count to estimate how close the lightning was. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. The count ended there. A flash of lightning followed, and I heard the crack of what sounded like a tree branch falling. I threw back the drapes, and another flash lit up the sky, making the trees look ghostly like the monsters in my childhood nightmares. I tried in vain not to think of all the worst things that could possibly happen. Fear had me in its icy grip. I imagined the lightning would ignite a fire and take out the whole community. Each image I conjured had two things in common. They were graphic and gruesome.
Here at the True Fiction Project, we are always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So, if you have a great story or know somebody who does, or if you are a writer who would like to contribute, then please do get in touch with us at renita.com/contact.
Thank you for listening to the True Fiction Project with Renita Hora. Be sure to subscribe to the newsletter to receive more inspiring stories showing how fiction is born from our everyday experiences. For more information, visit www.truefictionproject.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.